Praise the Lord that it was finished upon that cross. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our goal this evening is to get through an entire verse together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Tonight we come together to remember, to reflect, and to proclaim the word of the cross, or in other translations, the message of the cross, or in the King James, the preaching of the cross. And while our attention is particularly focused in the songs that we have been singing and the narrative that we read together with Pastor Micah on the night of his death, that original Good Friday, the full scope and picture of the message of the cross cannot be truly understood without reading the rest of the Gospels as they go back to his point of birth to his last breath here on earth. And it can't be fully grasped without understanding what the authors of the Old Testament wrote as they peered into the future and looked at the mystery of salvation, or what the New Testament authors, as they looked back to the cross and they began to fill out for us the theology and the doctrine behind all that went on. The message of the cross, while deep enough to spend our entire lives plumbing the depths of its glory and never fully coming to a realization of all that is there, the amazing element of the cross is that it is simple enough for a child to understand, to believe, and be saved. The word of the cross is that Jesus took our guilt and bore our punishment on the cross for our sins, the sins that we committed. God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all and punished him in our place, and by believing in him, we will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. The preaching of the cross communicates God's absolute righteousness and that he will judge all sin, and his absolute mercy and grace in love in that he will save us from that sin through the perfect substitutionary death of his son Jesus. And it is because of this message that we as Christians call this day a day in which we focus on, reflect, and remember his unfair trial and his gory death and the fact that he took and fully drank of the wrath of God. We call this day good. Good Friday. Our Savior, who died on the cross 2,000 years ago, is good to us and for us. But in our text this evening, Paul states that the message of the cross is not just a doctrine to be learned or a fact that is recorded. No, it is what divides all of humanity. It is what determines one's eternity. And so what we do with that message, what we do with what happened 2,000 years ago, as the Old Testament prophets are peering into the future and the New Testament apostles are looking back to the act that happened in Jerusalem, it divides all humanity and it determines one's eternity. Again, Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." In this letter, Paul was addressing the Corinthian church and the many issues that they were having at the time. This was a sick church. It was a church that had a lot of issues, and in his shepherding and care of this church, he is identifying areas that they are immature in and need to grow. There were several areas where they needed to grow and mature, but two in particular he was addressing in this chapter: the danger of being taught the wisdom of the world and the disunity in the church. And it is in this context that he shared with them the need to preach God's wisdom. The necessity to preach the message of the cross, the word of the cross. And it is in this message that they were to be unified. For our time this evening, I want us to see in this one verse how the message of the cross divides people into two different groups because of two different understandings, which lead to two different consequences. Let's begin by seeing the two different groups. Paul says that for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To those and to us. There are only two types of people in humanity. It is not determined by gender. It is not determined by ethnicity. It is not determined by nationality. It is not determined by socioeconomics, by gifting, by experience, by family. No, there are two groups determined based upon what they do with the message of the cross. Two differing groups, and they're divided by the message of the cross. The first part of this verse describes those that reject the message and are perishing, and the second part of this verse describes those who are receiving it and believing in it and are being saved. That is how humanity is divided. So we can have people from very different backgrounds, look very different, spend their money very differently, go to different types of churches because of their ethnic culture, and that doesn't divide. What divides is what one does with the gospel, what one does with the message of the cross. Paul differentiates between the two groups because of what they believe about the gospel message. And Paul describes two different attitudes toward that message. Paul says, to some, it is foolishness, and to others, it is the power of God. There are many who reject the message of the cross, and they do so for many different reasons. Paul will be describing in the verses following our verse of two groups that reject the cross because of two different reasons. He mentions the Greeks and he mentions the Jews. But while their reasons for rejecting may differ, the conclusion is still the same. They reject it. They view it as foolishness. It is a stumbling block. And they reject it because of, to them, it is foolishness. And I'm sure you've heard the objections. You know people who reject Christ and the gospel message, or you were one who rejected that message and now, because of God's grace, you now accept it, or you are presently sitting here today because your family made you come. And you reject the message of the cross because you see it as foolishness. The Greek word translated foolishness used here by Paul is the word moria, which we get our word moron. The message of the gospel is moronic to them. It is stupid. It is crazy. It is madness. Maybe it's the idea of needing a savior that is so foolish to them, because they think they aren't that bad, or that their good deeds outweigh their bad. But they look at this thing, this gospel, this need for a savior, and they look at it as crazy talk. Or maybe they think it's stupid because God would not nor could not become a man. And if he did become a man, he wouldn't live a life in rather obscurity in some small little country in the Middle East. Not a king, not a military general, but a carpenter? This is stupid. Or maybe they think it's crazy because God would not save humanity through defeat, through death. A hero is one who is victorious. a white knight on a horse that leads victory. He would have come down from the cross and defeated the Romans. He would have come down from the cross and defeated the religious leaders of that day. A hero who died? Or maybe it's moronic because of the exclusivity of that message, that there is only one way to God. Only one way to be forgiven of your sins, to be saved, and that is through a Jewish carpenter who lived 2,000 years ago. How foolish. But whatever the reason, the message of the cross is considered idiotic. It is rejected. It is despised because it conflicts with man's thinking. It is different from man's understanding, for it allows no place for human merit, no place for man's achievement, no place for man's wisdom, which is particularly being mentioned in this passage. And it depends wholly on a God that I cannot see, I cannot touch, nor can I understand. That is the one group. They believe it's foolishness. But we see the second group in the second half of the verse. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul is speaking as a Christian to the recipients of this letter in the church of Corinth who were Christians. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When you initially read this verse, you would assume that Paul would have contrasted the two understandings of the message of the cross, and he would have contrasted foolishness with the opposite of foolishness, which is wisdom. The cross is surely God's wisdom, as we see in other passages of Scripture, but that's not what he highlights in this text. Instead of foolishness contrasted with wisdom, he contrasts foolishness by saying those who accept it understand it to be the power of God. Paul's point in this to this group, those that are being saved, the message of the cross is not only the opposite of foolishness, but it is what they turn to. It is what they depend on to experience the power of God for heart transformation, for life transformation, for forgiveness, for eternal life. Not only do they understand and believe in it, but they turn to it in dependence to Jesus and the gospel. They believe that God had to become man because of the immensity of the problem. Sin and its curse was so big that no simply earthly human man could impact it. No perfect angel could be sacrificed. It had to be the God-man. That God could be both just and justifier. They believe that God's Son did not lose a fight with the Jewish leaders. He did not lose a fight with the Romans. He did not lose a fight with Satan. He wasn't overpowered or overmatched. No. The power of God, God sacrificed His Son to defeat sin, to crush the head of the serpent. Christ voluntarily laid His life down to cover sin for those who were perishing. The second group differentiates itself from the first group in how it depends on Christ and the work that He accomplished on the cross. Contrary to the first group that viewed it as foolishness, this second group understood that their salvation was not according to their power, not according to their intellect, not according to their morality or religiosity or anything that they did, but it was all dependent on what Christ did on the cross. The message of the cross is the power of God. Paul says this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." It's not foolishness. The message of the cross is what saves. They accepted it, They understood it, and it is in their understanding that the message of the cross is where sin was forgiven, where eternal life was given, where hearts and lives were changed. Two different groups, two understandings of the gospel. But this verse also points out the two different consequences stemming from those points of view. Paul mentions in the verse preceding this one, 1 Corinthians 1:17, that he was concerned only with his proclamation of the cross, that he must preach the gospel. He didn't want to add anything to it, because if you add something to it, then you negate its power. And he was about the power of the message of the cross, for it saved. The passage following our text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he said he was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, because he understood that the consequence of rejecting or receiving that message was eternal. That it either saved you or it condemned you. You either received eternal life or you perished. And so I am determined to know among you only Jesus Christ and him crucified, the death and of Christ, the message of the cross, the word of the cross. The message of the cross was not some idea that you can either take or leave without eternal reverberations. There are decisions that are made that it just doesn't matter. After our service, where are you going to dinner? It doesn't matter. Taco Bell or Chick-fil-A? It doesn't matter. You might go, yes, it does. It doesn't matter. Paul here is making it clear that one's response to this message of the cross puts you into either one or the other category: perishing or being saved. To those who reject the cross are those who are perishing. And to those that receive the cross's message, because it is the power of God, they are being saved. Both this perishing and being saved, Paul uses a grammatical form that speaks of the present condition, but one that has continual effects. It is happening now. You are perishing now, but you are perishing eternally. You are being saved now, but you are going to be saved eternally. The rejecter of the message of the cross is both perishing now and will continue to perish for all eternity. That is why this is such an important truth to understand, to grasp, because a rejection of it dooms you, damns you to condemnation. The rejecter of the message is perishing now, in that their life that rejects the truth of the gospel is distant from Christ, distant from God, the one who created all things, the one who loves, who gives purpose to life, and seeks the well-being of his children. The Bible is very clear that those who reject Christ are his enemy. We are at enmity with him. We are at odds with him. The picture is two different groups in battle coming together. We are on one side. God, the all-powerful and holy one, is on the other. We are perishing. We are as good as dead. We are dead men walking. The blessing of God reserved for his children are withheld from this group, because we are not children. We are enemies. But they are also perishing in that they are enslaved to their sin. They are unable to please God, even in their good deeds, living a meaningless and empty life, a life that is to be lived to their own destruction. But they are also in the process, or on the pathway to eternal damnation. The Bible is clear that without faith in Christ's work on the cross, that they are condemned to spend eternity separated from God and in eternal torment in a literal place called hell. Just as we believe that Christ literally lived and died on the cross and rose 3 days later, we believe that the Bible communicates that there is a place called hell. The Bible describes hell in the most vivid of terms. A place of punishment, a place of outer darkness, a lake of fire, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of eternal separation from God, a place of torment where the worm does not die, nor where the fire is quenched. It never dissipates. It never goes away. These are graphic images of eternal punishment, and they speak of mental and sensuous torment, unfilled desires, loneliness, hopelessness, restlessness, and a conscious recognition of the terrible experience of facing the perfect wrath of God. If the gospel message, if the message of the cross is foolishness, that is your destiny. And so Paul was compelled to preach the message of the cross. He was compelled to reject the wisdom of that day because the wisdom of that day would not fix this problem, the problem of sin. He wanted dearly to see them not perish, not perishing, but to be saved. And to those that received the message and turned to the power of God, they were being saved. Salvation is something that happens in the past, is happening in the present, and will happen in the future. The theological terms used to describe this are justification, sanctification, and glorification. This is salvation. Salvation is the entire play, and justification, sanctification, glorification are the acts in that play. Justification is the act of God whereby he pronounces a sinner to be righteous because of that sinner's faith in Christ. It happens at one point when our faith is firmly placed on the work of Christ on the cross. Each one of us here that are being saved, there is a moment in which we understood our sin, we understood who Jesus was, what Jesus did. We asked God to forgive us based upon Christ's work on the cross, and we were justified. We were declared as righteous. It is set in place. That is the past element of our salvation. Sanctification is a progressive work of God in which he conforms us practically into the image of God. He has positionally made us righteous in justification, and sanctification is the process in which we become more like our Savior. So, we are growing in our practical holiness, and the cross impacts the past, the message of the cross impacts the present, and the impact of the cross impacts the future. Glorification is that state when we are with him in heaven and we become like him. There is no more sin, and our position and our practice are the same. We will perfectly display the image of Christ when we are with Christ. So it is appropriate to say that we have been saved, we are being saved, and ultimately we will be saved. When we believe and accept the message of the cross, we are saved from sin. When we believe and accept in the message of the cross, we are saved from sin's penalty. When we believe and accept the message of the cross, we are saved from its power and can live a life of righteousness here on earth. And when we believe and accept the message of the cross, we ultimately will be saved from its very presence. Paul was set on being a preacher of the message of the cross because he did not want them to perish, but he wanted them to be saved in the past, saved in the present, saved in the future. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 3:16 through 18 as he echoes the very passage that we have been looking at this evening. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Perishing, saving, two different groups based upon the person and work of Christ. Our condemnation or our receiving eternal life is determined by what we do with the message of the cross. If we reject that work and assess it as foolishness, then we are perishing and are condemned. But if we believe in the work of Christ on the cross and accept that as our way to the Father, we are saved and we are gifted eternal life. So all of us here tonight fall into one of those two categories. Is Paul describing you in the first part of verse 18 or in the second? What do you believe about the message of the gospel? Is it foolishness to you, or is it the power of God to bring about your salvation? If you viewed it as foolishness, I beg of you tonight to recognize what God has said about sin, the condition you are in right now because of that sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, that our rejection of Christ has both immediate and eternal consequences. You are perishing, and as bad as that is in the here and now, the final summation of that life of rejection is eternal torment as you experience the terrible wrath of God. But as bad as that news is, we call this day Good Friday because of the good news that the Bible presents to you today. Because Jesus took on flesh, because he became a man and lived a perfect life and served as our substitute and took the penalty that you and I deserved, the message of the cross can save you. You can avoid God's righteous wrath. For God so loved you that he gave his only Son, that if you believe in him, you shall not perish but have eternal life. Right now, in your seat, acknowledge simply that you are a sinner, that there is nothing that you can do to cleanse yourself from that sin, but that you understand and believe that Jesus was the perfect substitute, that he took your punishment so that you could be cleansed and forgiven. Ask God to save you and to change your heart and life forever. And when you do, you move from the first half of that verse to the second half of that verse. You're transformed from the one who is perishing to the one who is being saved. And instead of condemnation and damnation, there is eternal life and the beauty of being adopted into the family of God and a relationship with the God who loves you and saves you. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that as humanity, we think different than you. That our thoughts and our concepts and our understandings are different from yours, and we ask that we would submit to the truth of Scripture and that we would see ourselves as you describe us to be. That we would see our sin as you describe it to be. That we would see your Son as you have revealed him to be, and Father, that we would place our faith in him. Lord, I ask that if there is anyone in this room who has not received the truth of the message of the cross and have placed their faith in Jesus for salvation, that today would be the day of their salvation, and that they would cry out to you for forgiveness, cry out to you saying, I do believe that the righteousness of Christ will cleanse me from my sin and that you will save them. Lord, that is our prayer. That is our hope. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.